our series. Can you hear me now? How many know that God's speaking? How many are realizing that? This is our sixth sermon in the series. If you're not getting it by now, then someone needs to hit you upside the head and say, God is speaking. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is speaking. Can you hear him? And if you can't, then there's still some things you need to work on. If you say, I'm still having a problem identifying the voice of God. I'm having a problem identifying when God speaks. And we're continuing to talk about different ways God speaks and preparing our heart to hear how God speaks. And today is no exception. As we continue as part six, we're calling this today, how to get direction from God. How to get direction from God. Now, how many know that men are the worst at getting directions? Not giving them, at stopping and getting them. Because we just hate to stop and ask anyone for directions. We can be cruising around, and we'll drive around 2 or 3 hours, and finally we'll stop and ask somebody, and we'll go in and ask and come back out. That's what I thought it was, right around there. We hate to admit that we don't know where we're at. We hate to admit that we're lost, and we hate to admit that we don't know where we're going. We have a hard time getting directions, and sometimes I wonder, as a people, do we suffer from the same anxiety in our hearts? So we just don't want to ask for direction. We hate to stop and ask for direction. But let me tell you, God is giving direction, but will you ask? Are you ready? And I think some of us here today are like some of these men, and some of us men, putting myself in that boat, that even though we know we need direction, we're stubborn about stopping and asking. We'll figure it out on our own. Well, God will just help me as I go, and we just keep going. We don't need anybody to tell us what to do. We don't want God to speak to our lives because either we're afraid that we're way off track, and when God's going to tell me to go, I'm like, wow, I really missed the boat. I thought I was supposed to be here, and I'm way over here. God, you're sending me over here. So I don't know if it's a pride issue of saying we can do it on our own, but different issues we have that keep us from asking direction. But God is speaking. God, make no doubt about it, God is speaking. God is giving direction to those who are asking. And so how do you get this direction from God? We're going to talk about that today, how to get direction from God. I read this email the other day, and I thought it was kind of cute. Maybe you can relate. It says, imagine if God had a voicemail. Imagine if God had a voicemail. It goes something like this. Thank you for calling heaven. For English, press 1. For Spanish, press 2. For all other languages, press 3. Please select for one of the following options in heaven. Press 1 for direction. 2 for requests. 3 for thanksgiving. And 4 for why is this happening to me? To find a loved one in heaven, press 5. Then enter their social security number, followed by the pound sign. The pound sign, listen, is located in the bottom right-hand corner. Remember where it's at. For this reservation in heaven, listen to what it says here. For reservations in heaven, please enter John, followed by the numbers 3:16. For answers to nagging questions about dinosaurs or life on other planets and suffering, please wait until you arrive to ask that question. For the purpose of life, please see Rick Warren. The office is now closed for the weekend due to observe religious holidays. In case of emergency, please contact your local pastor. Thank you, and have a heavenly day. Sometimes we wonder what it would be like to call God and ask God something. And when we get, are we going to get the runaround like we do when we call the IRS or the government? Try to get a hold of these people. I mean, listen, if they want to get a hold of you, they're going to contact you just like that. They're going to call your employer. They're going to send you threatening letters. They're going to get a hold of you just like that. But you try to get a hold of them, it's as hard as trying to get a hold of someone for AOL, trying to cancel your subscription. It's impossible. And sometimes we think that's the way with God. It's impossible sometimes to get a hold of God. And will God actually answer my call? Will he actually speak to me? And today my answer is yes, God will and does and has and continues to speak to his people. We are his children. And his children, what? They know his voice. God is still speaking to us today, and we're learning to listen. Last week we talked about how he speaks to us through the Bible and through gifted teachers and through godly friends and family, and how he gives us impressions, ideas through his Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through pain, and often he speaks to us through silence. This week, I want to go back and look at the fourth way, how God speaks through ideas, through impressions, through the Holy Spirit, how God speaks to our mind, the inspirations that he gives us. We're going to talk about how do we do this? How do we get God's Holy Spirit to speak to our mind, to speak to our spirit? How do we get direction from God? How do we test this today? There's a lot of confusion But fortunately, there is a six-step process, as we see in Scripture, that's laid out for you. This is not something I bought in the Christian bookstore, but it's something that's called in the Bible, the Scripture laid out for us, a six-step process we can find in the Old Testament in the book called Habakkuk, or as I like to say as a Star Wars fan, I like to pronounce it Habakkuk. Anyway, Habakkuk is listed in the Old Testament. I like to go through some of these minor prophets sometimes because many times we hardly ever go to the minor prophets and preach on them. And I don't want to get to heaven one day and to go to heaven and Habakkuk would come up to me and say, "Hey, how'd you like my book? How'd you like my book? It was a good book. I wrote it. What'd you think?" And I'm like, "Who are you? You didn't read my book. It was in the Bible." So it's important for us to go to these minor prophets and to study them. They're, like we talked about before, God speaks to us through his word. That's the most common way that God speaks is through his word. And everything in the Scripture is what? To teach me, to improve me, to show me, to correct me the way. All Scripture is God-breathed. And so it is here for our learning. As we look at Habakkuk, we can see here how God has given us this direction. Six steps on how to get direction. Let's go right to this today and read this. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "I will climb into my watchtower now, and I will wait to see what the Lord will say and how he will answer my questions. Then the Lord said to me, 'Write my answer in large, clear letters so that the runner can read it and tell everyone. But these things that I plan will not happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems too slow, wait patiently, for surely it will take place and it will not be delayed.'" First thing we see here is point number one is want. I must want to hear God. If you want God to give you direction, first of all, it's got to be a want inside of you. It's got to be this desire that overwhelms you. Listen to what he says here. "I must be willing to listen to what God says. I desire God's will most of all." He says, I will climb up into my watchtower. In other words, he's saying, I'm deciding. I'm making a choice that I will hear from God. I want to. I must hear from God. Last week, we talked about this a little bit. Listen to what King David said here in Psalms 85. "I want to hear what God, the Lord, says." That's what David said. "I want to hear what God, the Lord, says." In verse 40, he says, "My God, I want to do what you want. I don't just want to hear it, but I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. I want to obey." God speaks to people who decide in advance they're going to do whatever God asks them to do. Let me say it again. If you want God to speak to you and give you direction, there comes a point in your life where you make in advance, "God, whatever you tell me, I'm going to do it." And sometimes I wonder if God is not speaking to you if we have a heart problem with this issue. All right? Because this is what we want. This is, as most Christians, this is the way we really approach it. "God, what would you like for me to do? God, give me option A. Give me option B. Give me option C. All right, Monty, I'll take door number 3. Because I don't like A and B, so I'll take option 3. You think God's going to talk to you that way? Really, is God going to talk to us consistently on an everyday basis, on a weekly basis, when we're going through things, when we say, "God, all right, you give me the plan of God for my life. God, you show me direction, but I'll decide then, after you tell me whether or not I want to be obedient." No, he's not. God will trust his will to those who are obedient ahead of time. Those who say in their heart, "God, I want to do your will no matter what. No matter what you tell me to do, God, I'll do it. God, if your will is nice, then I'll do it." It's not about a nicety. It's about necessity. It's not about being nice. It's about it being necessity. God, it's a necessity that I hear your voice. It's just not nice that I hear your voice. God, it's a necessity. I've got to hear what the living God is saying. God, I will do what you ask me to do. And that's a heart issue that we design in our heart and we destine in our heart. God, I will do whatever you ask. And when your heart gets to that place where God says, "You know what? They will do. They will pray about. And they will be obedient to what I ask them to do. I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to lead them." How many know if you ask somebody to do something time and time again and they don't do it, you'll find somebody else who will, won't you? You'll find somebody else who'll do the job. You'll find somebody else who'll be obedient. You'll find somebody else who'll listen to you. God, we are made in his image. Listen, he's going to talk to those who want to hear. And he's not saying, all right, God, if I like it, I'll do it. If not, no. That's the wrong attitude. That's the attitude we carry. All right, God, I'll do it as long as it's nice, as long as it's what I agree to do. And then we wonder why God doesn't speak to us. It's a heart issue. We get it ready to God. I want to hear from God. God, I want to hear from you. Let me ask you a personal question. How serious are you about wanting to hear from God? You say, it'd be nice. It'd be cool. Let me tell you, God's not going to speak to you. God's not speaking to you to be cool. God's not speaking to you to be nice. It'd be great if I heard from God. Well, God's not going to speak to you just to make it great for you. He's going to speak to you when everything within you says, I have to hear from God. I've got to get direction from God. I want the direction from God more than anything else. Not because it'll be cool and I can tell my friends, hey, God spoke to me. We have people like that. As soon as God speaks, oh, call everybody. Guess what? God spoke to me about something. And that becomes a bigger issue than what God asked you to do. You're so holy because God spoke to you. As we learned last week, God spoke through an ass, so don't be calling everybody up. That's nothing to be proud about, okay? All I'm talking about is preparing your heart. My attitude is not about it being great, about it God speaking to me. My attitude is, God, I've got to. Everything within me, God, I've got to have you speak to me. That's what David did. David said, man, the Word of God says, David was a man after God's heart. Was David a perfect man? No, he was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He made some terrible mistakes. But one thing about David we see throughout the book of Psalms as he wrote these prayers, he was passionate about hearing from God. He was so passionate about hearing from God that God said, he's a man after my heart. Look what he says here in Psalms 119. What I want most of all at all times is to honor your laws. If you search God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind, you will find him. That's what Scripture says. He will, what? The person who seeks after him, he will find him. We will find him. But the question is, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? I remember that phrase goes on my mind. I remember in ninth grade, I played on a lot of great teams in sports, but probably one of the worst teams I ever played for was my ninth grade year, playing for Alice Robinson Junior High School. And I was there, and it was back then, the junior high went to ninth grade. And our football team had only won one game all year long. And that was hard because we'd always won the championship, and I'd always, been a winner. So the first year, I had to go through this thing. And I remember we were playing our crosstown rival for the last game of the year, Westside Junior High School. It was our big rival. It was such a big rival. I mean, the stadium would be packed. The high school stadium would be packed that night. I mean, teachers would send each other, black roses and all that stuff. I mean, it was a rival from between teachers, parents, students. It was just, there's only two junior highs, really, that were the big ones. We had another smaller one outside of town. But, the two really big junior highs, and they were just the big rivalries. And this team was good this year. They had a great year. They were in first place in the conference. They had a winning record. And we'd only won one game, and we came into the game. And I remember just the coach bringing in teachers down. He'd bring in teachers down. I mean, I didn't know nothing about football, but he wanted to speak to us. Then, guys, please, whatever you do, I don't want to get any more black roses tomorrow. I'd be crying. I don't want to get this. And I don't want to face this. I don't want to face these guys for the rest of the school year knowing that we lost. Can you please just give it your all? I remember the coach coming in and saying, how bad do you want it, really? And he coming in and pumping us up. He said, man, how bad do you really want it? He goes, because if you want it bad enough, he goes, I don't care what's happened the rest of this year. You've had a terrible season. It hasn't been good. But you know what? How about this one game, one time, let's go out there and show them that we were a good team. How bad do you want it? And I remember guys thinking, all right, we can do this. And his light came on. We went out there and just kicked the snot out of them. These guys that I thought would never even make the team out there flying around, hitting people, running, catching, doing all kinds of things. Like, where did this come from, But something clicked on them that they didn't want to face their friends. Listen, they didn't want to face their friends knowing they had lost all year long, getting made fun of. When they go to 10th grade and the junior highs combined and they're all together, they didn't want to spend 3 years at the high school hearing that you lost. And so it was a pride issue, and they wanted it so bad, and we wanted it so bad, we got up and we beat this number one team in our conference, even though we were the worst team, because we wanted it that bad. And I remember those words in my coach's coming out of his mouth, in my ear. How bad do you want it? And that really defines when it comes to hearing from God is how bad do you really want it? Do you really want to hear from God? Because God is speaking. But the question is, do we really want to hear from him? Do we really want to position ourselves to hear from him? David says, I must hear from the Lord. He must direct me. I must know his ways. I must. Not, God, it'd be great. God, it'd be nice. God, when are you going to speak to me? No, he said, I must. There's a drive in there. There's something that happens. And listen, when there's something spiritually that takes place in your life, and you say, you know what? I've got to have direction from God. Nothing is going to move me until I hear the voice of the Lord. When I get direction from the Lord, and there's something that takes place on the inside of you, God will speak to those people. God speaks to those who position themselves and say, it's a passion of mine. I must hear the voice of the Lord. The second part we see, we must decide to withdraw. You got to decide to withdraw. Get alone in a quiet place. Look what it says here in the scripture. Let's go continue in 2:1. It says, I'll climb up into my watchtower. That word watchtower is a Hebrew expression that means I'm going to get alone. I'm going to get above it all. I'm going to withdraw and to get into a quiet place. The point here is you cannot hear God's voice if you're surrounded by noise. Listen, there's more noise now than ever before. How many parents of preschoolers can identify with this verse right here I'm talking about? Man, how many know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's noise everywhere. And you've got to get alone with the Lord. You want God to speak to you? Sometimes you got to withdraw. Now, does that mean God always speaks to you? That's the only time God speaks to you, when you get quiet? No, but many times when we're really needing answers from God, it's time we have to get away and say, God, I got to find a quiet place to hear your voice. That's what it says. I climb into my watchtower. He said, I'm getting away from the noise. I'm rising above it all. I'm rising above. I'm finding a place of solitude. I'm going to put out all the different noises around me. I read the story about Susanna Wesley. She had 18 children. Can you imagine that? 18 children. And two of her children were John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church, and Charles Wesley, who wrote hundreds and hundreds of the hymns. Many of them still are sung today. And Susan was a woman who had a passion for God. She loved God. And as her autobiography, as her children talked about their mom, they said our mom was a praying mom, that she had to hear from God. And I think about that. I think, how does this woman with 18 children hear from God? How do you ever have a chance to find solitude and get to withdraw to a quiet place? I don't care today whether you have one or you have 18. When you have kids, it's hard sometimes to find that quiet time between you and God. But let me tell you, it's a necessity. You've got to want to find it. And they talked about their mom. They said during the afternoon, sometime during the afternoon, this mother of 18 kids, she would sit down in her rocking chair. And she would have her apron on. And she would take her apron and throw it over her face and lay back in her rocking chair. And the kids knew that when mom's apron's over the face, you don't ask mom for nothing or you'll lose your life. They talked about if you interrupted mom when that apron was over the face, you were going to get it. And so the kids knew, even though things were going around her, her way of solitude was to take a few minutes and to put that apron over her face and to rock herself and to pray to God and to ask God. I don't care today what it takes. You've got to find time to withdraw. And there's no excuse, whether you have one kid or 18 or no kids or grand, it doesn't make a difference. There's no excuse for not taking time to withdraw yourself and spending time with God. We've got to find it because God will speak to those who withdraw themselves. He says, I climb. He's given instruction. I climbed into my watchtower. I got away from it all. I withdrew myself. However you do it, you've got to decide to withdraw. It's not going to happen automatically. You've got to plan to do it. Look what Luke 5:16 says. Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. Now here's Jesus, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, the man who never had a sin. He's having to withdraw as a man and find time to pray to his Father. Now, how much more do you think that you and I need time to pray and withdraw to our Father? If Jesus set the example and says, I need it, how much more do you and I need it? We've got to find time to withdraw and find our quiet place with the Lord. Matthew 6:6 says, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can. manage, and focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. You got to get away. Matthew 6:31 says, "Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things." Let me say to you today that God cares about the details of your life. God cares about the details of your life. You get away. You talk to God about what's going on in your life. He said, God cares about the things as simple as what you're going to eat, what you think, what you're going to do. He cares about the small things of our life, the details. God is a detail God. And the truth is, God is far more willing to talk to you and I than we are to talk to Him. If we're really honest, God is far more willing to talk to you and I than we are to talk to Him. And so we got to, because God, I want to talk to you. I've got to have your direction. God, I've got to hear your voice. And God, I'll be obedient to what you tell me. God, if you ask me to do it, I will do it. My heart gets positioned. Then I withdraw and find quiet times throughout the week that I can get away and find these quiet times with God. God has something to say to us. Do you realize that? I seen this. I heard, read about these billboards that were going on in Florida a couple years ago, and it stirred up quite a national controversy. Some of you can remember these. These guys got together and buying these big billboards on the highways and freeways in Florida. It caught a lot of national attention. And they had big billboards, and they would say things like this: God has something to say to us. Another one said, we need to talk. God. I guess one here says, love the wedding. Now invite me to your marriage. Another one said, what part of you shall not didn't you understand? Or the other one said, that love thy neighbor thing, I meant it. I guess one here says, keep using my name in vain, and I'll make the rush hour longer. Another one said, have you read my number one bestseller? P.S., there will be a test. And the last one says, the last time things were this messed up, I sent a flood. And these things caught a lot of attention because people realized, is God really speaking this way? And people are talking about this controversy. Does God really speak this way? And he does speak to us. And sometimes, sometimes Christians get big billboards out there and put on the highway. And I'm not knocking those things, but God is longing to speak to us more than just a billboard. God is wanting to speak to you and I daily. Daily. We've got to find time to cut out the noise and say in my heart, God, I will be obedient to what you say. I withdraw to Him. I get quiet before Him. And the third step, which goes right along with this second step, is I wait. That's what He says here. I will wait, and I will calm my thoughts and my emotions. Listen to what it says here in 2:1. I will wait. That's what He says. I will wait. I will wait. In other words, I'm going to wait to hear God. He says this in the NIV version. I will station myself. I will station myself. What does this mean? It means I'm going to stay put. I'm going to be still until God speaks to me. So I seclude myself, I prepare my heart, and then I plant myself to God, I am going to wait. You want God, get God direction from God? Sometimes it's got to happen more than just 2 minutes. And that's the way we are in society today. Everything is so fast. We can go through the drive-thru and get it. We can microwave it. We can order internet. Boom, 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 boom. We don't have time to wait. And I'm impatient as anybody here, believe me. I'm an impatient person. I cannot stand to stand in line for anything. I'm always looking for the shortest line. I'm always looking for, I'll go to a different restaurant just to find a shorter line. I hate waiting in line. I'm an impatient person many times. And that's the way our society is, because we are impatient people. We find ourselves impatient. And so many times this is what we pray to God. God, I've got to hear you. God, I need to hear you. Lord, I can't make it unless you hear me. Talk to me. God, all right, go. You got 2 minutes. Oh, God, you didn't speak. Oh, I got to go. Sorry. And God says, you know what, I think I'll pass, really. Save the charity for your neighbor, and I'll talk to you when you get time to really hear what I'm going to tell you. God wants us to wait on Him. And there comes a time in your life. Can God speak to you fast? Yes, He can. Many times God speaks to me real fast. I don't always have to wait when God's directing me. But there's the times in my life when I really need direction in my life. I've got to find myself isolating myself away from the noise of the day and the noise from kids and people. And I got to get alone from God, and I got to plant myself. All right, God, all right, I'm ready. And God, I'm not going to leave here until I hear a direction from you. And God, until you give me peace about what I'm going to do, until you give me direction one way or the other, I am not leaving. I'm going to plant myself. And listen, there comes a time in all of our lives when we'll come against this, and we'll have to say, you know what, God, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to plant myself here, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. And God, I'm going to wait as long as it takes. God, I'm going to hear your voice. God, you will speak. And God, I'm going to listen. And God, I'm going to stay here until you speak. God's looking for those people who say, God, you are number one. What am I saying? I'm saying, God, that your voice is the most important thing to me to hear. When I put him on a time limit, when I rush him, what am I saying? You're not the most important thing. My agenda is most important. So there's times in my life when I got to lay aside my agenda, lay aside my schedule and say, God, I am not moving until you speak to me. Listen, as a pastor, I have to do that quite often. There's times I do that personally. I've got to find time to get away. I have rituals, and I get in the car and say, honey, I'm going. Where are you going? I don't know. I just got to get away. The noise is going on at the house, and I got to go. I got to hear from God. I got to hear his direction. I got to find a quiet place, and I'm getting alone. There's times I go, and I'll go somewhere. I'll go out of town, spend the night overnight just to get away and do nothing but myself and isolate because I've got to hear God's voice. There's times I know when God wants to speak, and this is more than just a quick direction. I've got to hear what God's saying. It's important. We've got to hear God because we're in too much of a hurry many times. We've got to calm ourselves down. Wait. It's what it says. I will wait. Habakkuk said, I will wait. I will not be in a hurry. I calm myself down. This is the problem. Many times we'll calm ourselves down. This is exactly what happens as we conclude today. Let me tell you this way it says. First, things that happens, what will happen? As soon as you sit quiet and get it, all right, God, I'm putting aside all these things. God, I want to hear your voice. What's the first thing that's going to happen? Your mind's going to start racing 100 miles an hour. All right, I got to call this person. Don't forget to pick up the kids. Don't forget to get some groceries on the way home. Don't forget to pay this bill. Don't forget to call this person. Everything happens, and you can't hear from God because Satan, what's he doing? He's filling your mind with all these things because Satan doesn't want you to hear from God. He does not want you to hear from God, so he's going to remind you of your schedule all day long. So let me give you a little hint. When you find yourself isolating, get out a notepad and pens of paper, and when those things come to your mind, just take time to stop and write them down. All right, don't forget to pick the kids up. All right, pick up the milk. All right, pay the bill. Do this, do that. As you do that, you're relieving your mind. You're taking your mind clear, leaving your mind clear so you can hear God speak to you. And the second thing that usually happens when we get alone with God is Satan will try to condemn you. He'll bring up all your past to you. Isn't it amazing? You try to get spiritual and hear God speak to you, and all of a sudden Satan does this. Remember what you did? You think God's going to speak to you? Remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? It gets you feeling all guilty about something you did. And listen, what has happened? There is no condemnation in those in Christ Jesus. And today, listen, Satan, what is he doing? He is going to speak. He wants to distract you. He does not want you to hear God's voice. So he's going to do everything he can to distract you from hearing what God's saying to you. It happens to all of us. And the devil's going to say, hey, remember this? Remember that? He's going to get you distracted. And so you've got to realize, you know what? My sins have been forgiven. No matter what you've done, when you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, you are walking in forgiveness. And when I've confessed it once, I don't have to confess it 10 times. I don't have to confess it 3 times. When I confess it once and I repent, God forgives it right then. He's already paid the price. And when I accept his forgiveness and say, God, I accept the forgiveness for the sins. God, I forgive me. I am walking in that forgiveness no longer to be brought up. I don't walk in condemnation. I don't walk fear of my past because God has forgiven me. And so when I sit down, I remember that saying, Satan, you're just trying to distract me. There is freedom in those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. If I'm feeling condemned, that's coming from Satan because what? God does not condemn me. We talked about this a few weeks ago. God does not condemn me. Satan condemns me. God convicts me, and conviction draws me close to God. There's a big difference. God will convict me of things I need to change in my life. Satan will condemn me over things I've done in my past. There's a big difference. I don't walk in condemnation. So as I let that go, I can learn to position myself and calm myself down to hear God's voice. Finding time to hear him speak to me. Psalmist said, I will wait quietly before God. My hope is in him. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Some of you are asking today, this sounds like transcendental meditation, Pastor. What are you talking about? This new age? No, this is not. The Word of God is very clear about how we approach him, how we hear from God. The difference between TM, transcendental meditation, it teaches you to clear your mind, clear your thoughts, and to open yourself up to wherever it goes, wherever it leads you. You open yourself up to any spirit that wants to come in your mind. And that's what transcendental meditation is. But I'm talking about prayer and meditation on God is focusing upon Him. See, it's very different. It's clear. I am clearing my schedule. I'm clearing my thoughts. And my focus is solely upon God. My focus is solely upon hearing Him. I'm not opening myself up to any other voices other than the voice of God. So this is not a New Age thing. It's a Bible thing. But for everything that the Bible has for God to do, there's always a counterfeit. Satan will always make a counterfeit. What does counterfeit suggest? Have you ever seen a counterfeit $3 bill? We don't see them. There's no counterfeit $3 bill. Why? Because there's not a $3 bill. They counterfeit the what? The real thing. And so when Satan has a counterfeit, that means that there must be a real thing of God that really is there. And so when God has something for you, a place for you to go and to hear His voice, Satan's always going to try to counterfeit that and get you distracted and other things. And so you focus your mind solely upon what God wants you to hear. We calm down. We find those places of solitude. Number four, we get a mental picture here. We watch. God gives me a mental picture. Look at what it says here. I will look to see. Isn't that interesting? I will look to see what He will say to me. I'm going to look to see. Now, that's a very interesting thing, because why didn't He say, I just will wait and listen to what God says? Because God doesn't always want to speak just in our ears. And many times He wants to speak with our eyes. And He gives us visions. And He speaks to us. Pastor, you tell me that God can give me a vision I can see? Yes, He can. If man can transmit pictures from Mars and Jupiter from a satellite all the way back to NASA, if they can take a broadcast they do in New York City and send it to a satellite and broadcast it all around the world and come back into my home into a picture box, do you not think that God, our Creator, can speak an image into your mind? Our Creator can speak a vision into your eyes. He wants you to know that He, through vision, through a picture. Maybe you have a hard time with the word vision, so I use the word mental picture here. He wants to show you direction. Not only just tell you, He wants to show you. He wants you to see it. He wants you to visualize it. He'll show you a glimpse into your future. He'll show you a glimpse into His will. He will show you a visual picture. We watch. Look for it. We open ourselves and say, God, show me. Look what it says here in Psalm 73. When I tried to figure it all out, all I got was a splitting headache. I've never been there before. When I tried to figure it all I got was a splitting headache. Until I entered the sanctuary of God, then I saw the whole picture. Wow. What was David saying? He was saying, man, I was stressed out. All these things happening in the kingdom, and I'm trying to figure it all out. It's giving me a headache. I can't figure it myself out. And said, it wasn't until I said, you know what? I got to get alone. I got to find a place, a sanctuary, the isolation with me and God. And when I got alone with God, then I saw the whole picture. Then I saw the direction. God will reveal vision to you. God will give you direction. He will let you see things as you position yourself up to hear His voice. Wow. It's such a powerful thing, because many of you here today, all you can see is what's in front of you. Our eyes are only able to see perspective of what's directly in front of us. All we can see is our problem. Our narrow viewpoint is right here. All we can see is this right problem right here, and this problem over here, and this attack from over here, and this attack from over here. And listen, I've been there. I know what it is to be attacked from my left and be attacked from my right and feel like, man, all pressure is coming against you. And where do you go? And this is why it's so important, because in the midst of my trouble, I can find myself getting alone with God. And this is what happens. I will plant myself, and I'll calm myself down, and I'll say, God, You've got direction for me. God, You've got a direction for me and my family. Where are You taking me? God, where are we going? My perspective leaves. Listen, my vision leaves my problem. My vision will leave the circumstances going on around me, and God will open up a pathway, and He'll show me the end road. God will show me coming through my problem. God will show me where I'm going. God will show me the promise ahead. And He'll show me He's taking me through a season of testing. But the promise is just ahead. So it's important that I see the promise. It's important that I see the mental picture. And I get excited, because it's an exciting thing. Because God wants to show you where He's taking you. God wants to show you the promise that's ahead. He don't want you just to see the problems that are right in front of your face all the time. That's why I lay them aside. And I say, God, where are You taking me to? All right. All right, so when I see the big picture, it says, all right, my enemy may be on my right side. My enemy may be on my left side. people are shooting arrows at me behind and in front of me. That's all right, because I see the big picture. God's got me under control. God's angels are fighting my behalf, and God's going to turn this thing around. All right, you may be kicking some dust in my face right now, but God is going to crush you with his heel. And I see the big picture, what's going on in my life. God is showing you. God is speaking through vision to you, and he longs to do that to you and to me. He speaks through visions to us, so we see where God's taking us. In closing today, let me give you these last 2 points real fast. Some musicians come this morning. Number 5, we write it down. Write it down. Look what it says here. The Lord gave me this answer. Write down clearly what I have revealed to you. And I call this thing journaling. You've heard me talk about it and preach about it. This is why things like this are so important. These journals are so important, because God speaks to those who write it down. If we study today and know what, if we believe what the Air Force tells us, they tell us that we forget what we hear within 72 hours. We forget everything we hear, about 90% of what we hear. Then why would God want to speak to you if you're going to forget it in 3 days? Why would we want to speak to you if you're going to forget it in 3 or 4 days going by and you forgot what God spoke to you? But if he says, you know what, if I speak to them, they're going to write it down. They're going to remember it. Not only for themselves, they're going to pass it on to their other generations, their family, to their children, to their grandchildren. I'm going to speak to that person because they're going to write it down. They're being responsible. They're hiding the word of God. I speak to them. They're taking the direction I have and writing it down. That's why it's so important, not only to have a daily time with God, but to write down what God speaks to you. That's what it says here. He says, God said to write it down. He says, I'm going to speak to you. You isolate yourself. You calm yourself down. You meditate on me, and then you get a pen and get ready to write, and I will speak. When you want to hear from me and be obedient, I will speak. I put these back on the table back out there today. The table's back out today. If you want one of these, they're $5. Simple reading plan, takes you through the Bible in 1 year, teaches you how to journal, how to write your favorite scripture out, how to write that prayer and thoughts for the day. It's an awesome tool. Many of you were not here when we sold these a little while ago, so I want to make this available again today. It's a great tool to be used, daily tool. They're $5. It's called journaling. Can you imagine if David didn't write down his prayers? We wouldn't have the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a whole book of David writing, journaling down the prayers that God put in his heart. God wants you to write it down, what he speaks to you. Listen, many times God speaks to me and I write it down, and sometimes I don't go back to a year later, and I go back and say, oh, God, this is what you told me here. When I got this situation, I was going to need to do this, and I go back and I look at that. That's right. I remember what God spoke to me, and I have direction already because I wrote it down in advance. The last thing he did here, look what it says, number 6, I worship. I worship. I thank God for speaking to me. Wow. Look what he says in Habakkuk 3:2. Oh, Lord, now I have heard your report, and I worship you in awe. After God spoke to him, after he got himself ready to hear from God, as he quieted himself down, as he withdrew, as he watched, as he wrote down the vision that God gave him, he says, then he worshiped the Lord. He said, God, I worship you. I have heard your report, and I worship you in all. Listen, when you get to a place where God's speaking to you, giving you direction for your family, you know what happens? You can't help but find yourself worshiping. God, I thank you. God, it looks like the enemy's trying to overcome, but God, I know I've seen the picture. And God, you are going to make me victorious. God, you're speaking direction. God, you're telling me that I'm going to be okay. My children are going to be okay. My family's going to be okay. God, you're directing me. And God, now I stand in awe of you, that you take care of your children. God, you speak to us. God, you anoint us. God, you give us a vision. And God, now I stand in awe of you, Lord, and I worship you. You find yourself worshiping the Lord. Let's do it today. Can you just stand to your feet? I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about maybe the biggest problem you got facing you coming up over the next few weeks. Maybe it's the biggest problem you're facing today. You say, Pastor Gene, I got some big things that are happening in my life, and I need God to speak to me. I ask you today to prepare your heart. If you need God's direction in your life, he is going to speak to you. But first of all, you got to prepare yourself. And it starts with saying, God, I want that more than anything else. I've got to have your voice. I've got to have your direction. I don't need direction from my neighbor. I need direction from God more than anything else. I got to have the voice of God directing me. And I'm gonna destine my heart this week, God. I'm going to find times to get along with you. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to look for the vision. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to worship you and thank you. So I want you to do this last. I want you to skip to point number 6 right now. Let's just worship the Lord. Father, we worship you, Lord, and thank you. We thank you, God. Lord, you speak to your people, that you give us vision. You give us direction. And Lord, we are in awe of an almighty God. That God, when it seemed like there was no way, that God, you held our hand, God, and you helped us through our time of trouble. And God, you showed us a vision of the future. And God, your promise has always come true. Your promises have always been faithful to us and our family and our children. And God, when others talked about us and said we weren't going to make it, God, you led us through. When others said it would never happen, God, you made it happen. Others said I would die spiritually. I would die physically. God, you said all things are possible through you. And God, you led us through. And God, you gave us a vision for our children, for our family, God, for our lives, for our job, for things that are going to happen. God, and when the enemy came against us, God, it was the vision of the Lord that carried me. It was the voice of the Lord that carried me. And God, we stand in all of you today, God. Passionately, God, saying, speak to us, not just once, not just twice, but God, speak to us. Like you spoke to Abraham, like you spoke to Peter and Paul. God, speak to us, God. Speak to us, God. Speak to us. May your word be alive in our hearts, God. May your word come alive, God, as it speaks to our heart. And we position ourselves, God, to hear from you. If you believe it today, say amen. 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 We say God bless you today. If you need anything, we'll be down here at the front today. We say God bless you very much. You guys have a great week. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. Say, man, God is good.